Good morning, everyone. Welcome to the Thursday, November 20th edition of the MMA OB Daily Podcast. I'm your host, as always, Adam Martin, and I'll be taking you guys through the latest in the world of mixed martial arts. Follow me there on Twitter at MMAdamMartin for all your latest and news in the world of MMA. All right, got a lot to talk about today, a lot of news, a lot of fight announcements. Let's get right into it. UFC Auckland has been officially announced February 22nd in Auckland, New Zealand, and the main event is a great fight here between Dan Hooker and Paul Felder. So I want to talk about this one right off the bat. Love this matchup. Both guys were kind of calling for, especially Paul Felder. He posted that hilarious post on his Twitter of, he said, like, got a hooker or something. It was a picture of a hooker saying, I want a date with a hooker, something like that. It was hilarious, though. Gets the fight he wants. Obviously, Dan Hooker wanted a top five guy. He wanted Dustin Poirier. He wanted Conor McGregor. He wanted Justin Gaethje. Didn't get those guys, but he's still getting a really solid opponent, Paul Felder, who actually is higher ranked according to UFC rankings. I'm not sure if I agree with that, but Paul Felder is ranked number 6. Dan Hooker's ranked number 7. So two of the top 10 guys right now in the UFC. This is an amazing fight. Love this matchup. Dan Hooker's looked incredible lightweight, no doubt about it. Only 29 years old, really in the prime of his career. Won 6 of his 7 fights since moving to lightweight. 5 of those 6 wins by stoppage, and the one win by decision was against Ally Quinton's last fight. So two-fight win streak for him, Ally Quinton, James Vick in his last two fights. Paul Felder, same thing, two-fight win streak, James Vick as well in his win streak, and then Edson Barboza, who ironically beat Dan Hooker last year. So these guys have fought quite a few common opponents. Paul Felder's also looked good. He's won 5 of his last 6 as well, but the one loss to Mike Perry at welterweight. So he's actually on a 5-fight win streak at lightweight. This is a great fight. Love this matchup. I think the fact it's in New Zealand, you got to kind of favor Dan Hooker. He's the younger guy as well by 6 years, 29 to 35. And to me, he's looked a little bit sharper lately. But Paul Felder's a very, very good fighter, very dangerous, really good striker. Guys, this is a great fight. Love this matchup. Perfect main event for a fight night card in New Zealand. Can't wait to watch this one. My lean would be Dan Hooker a little bit. There were some other fights announced for this card. I'm going to get to them later on in the show, but I want to get to the rest of the news first. Jorge Masvidal talked about Ben Askren's retirement. He was asked about that in a recent interview and basically said that he thinks Ben's kind of leaving on bad terms. He thinks that because he lost 2 straight fights, that's the reason he's leaving, not the hip thing. We can't speak for Ben's situation. Obviously, he is injured and he needs hip replacement surgery, so that's terrible. I saw Michael Bisping criticizing him. I'm not sure why these guys are criticizing, though. Like, I get it. I mean, listen, he talked a big game. It didn't really work out for him. But to me, he was actually pretty classy in defeat, and he was classy in his exit. He didn't make excuses. He said he lost to better fighters, and he has to retire due to injuries. So to me, like, guys like Bisping and Masvidal kind of criticizing Ben Askren, I'm not sure if I like that much. I think they kind of want him to stick around because they know that he brings a lot to the sport. But to me, the criticism is a little bit unfair. I mean, Ben Askren got knocked by Masvidal and didn't make excuses, basically credited the guy for being the better man. So I'm not sure why Bisping and Masvidal are kind of criticizing him. I don't agree with it personally. Ben wants to retire. That's his choice. Fighters, if they want to retire, that's their choice. We've seen guys retire at much younger ages than Ben Askren. Guys like Jory Mean retired in their 20s. So to me, Ben Askren at 35, retiring after a long career in MMA and wrestling, it makes a lot of sense. So yes, the 2 losses I'm sure didn't help. But I believe it is more the injuries than anything. Having said that, obviously, he'd won his fights. He would still be sticking around. But when you do lose and you're hurt, it just makes more sense to fold up shop. And Ben still will stick around the sport. He'll be training fighters in wrestling, like Macy Barber is training her with her wrestling. So he'll be around the sport for a long time. Johnny Walker called out Chris Weidman. Chris Weidman said that he's interested, but he's not 100% sure yet what he's going to do. I think Chris is kind of considering moving back down to middleweight. He's not sure what he's going to do yet. But if Chris Weidman does stick it light heavyweight, then this fight makes sense. Johnny Walker and Chris Weidman both coming off knockout losses. Walker to Corey Anderson, Weidman to Dominic Reyes, 2 of the top contenders at 205. So to me, this fight would make sense. It's a good call by Johnny Walker against a former champion and a guy he probably does beat. At the same time, Chris Weidman, this is a winnable fight for him too. So this is a very good fight. I think if it happens, I'd like to see this matchup. We'll see what happens with Chris, though. If he moved back to middleweight, it wouldn't surprise me. If he stays at light heavyweight, it wouldn't surprise me. Johnny's obviously staying at light heavyweight. So I think Johnny Walker was smart calling out Chris Weidman. This is the kind of guy he should be calling out. Someone like Shogun, someone like Weidman, a guy at the kind of the ender stages of their careers. So good call by Johnny Walker. Not sure if he gets the fight, but it's a good call nonetheless. Kyoji Horiguchi's in the news. He unfortunately had to give up his Bellator bantamweight title. He also gave up the Ryzen bantamweight title. He's hurt. He's going to be out for a little while. And he believes it's the noble thing to do, the martial arts thing to do. And I think you have to give this guy a lot of respect for doing that. I think a lot of fighters would have kept on the belts. Like we saw, I think like what Cain Velasquez, Dominic Cruz, these guys kept their belts for years. So for Kyoji Horiguchi to give them up within the same year of winning them, it's a little surprising. But at the same time, the guy obviously has that warrior spirit and he wants other guys to fight for the belt. So, you know, kudos to him. But at the same time, I feel like he kind of gave him up a little quick. Maybe there's some pressure from the promotions to give them up. But to me, it was a little quick. But at the same time, you got to respect what he's doing. Big John McCarthy, his podcast weighing in with Josh Thompson. They talked about the Gina Carano situation, which is an interesting listen for sure. I like that podcast. It's a good podcast. Josh Thompson, one of my all-time favorites, by the way. Love Josh Thompson. The punk's great. He was talking about Dana White and just how Dana and other promoters in boxing MMA bully their fighters and mistreat their fighters and abuse their fighters. That's what John McCarthy was saying. There's abuse. There's a level of abuse. Really interesting stuff. And John McCarthy was defending Gina Carano, basically said that she had no right to be abused by Dana White, and she stuck up for herself. She made the right call as far as turning down the fight with Ronda Rousey or just ignoring Dana White after he called her a bitch. I mean, to me, it was definitely abusive of Dana. Dana is a bully. I think we can all agree with that. He can be a real big bully. And in this situation, he absolutely was, especially to a woman. That's just not cool. So to me, it was wrong what he was doing. And it was nice to see Big John actually step up and you know, defend Gina Carano, who he also says has a really good relationship with Randy Couture, another fighter who's been bullied in the past by Dana White. So to me, John McCarthy made some great points. You know, Dana White, listen, he is the best promoter in MMA history. He is an amazing promoter for sure. One of the best in combat sports history, arguably, but you know, he does mistreat a lot of his fighters, and Gina Carano was absolutely one of them. The text message he sent her was just not right. And I can't blame Gina for turning down that fight. Even $1 million wouldn't get in the way of her being called some really bad names by Dana. Wal Harris's daughter, Anita Blanchard, has been confirmed dead by officials in Alabama. Really sad stuff here. Wal Harris this morning shared a eulogy on his social media page. You guys should go read it. Really sad stuff. You got to feel bad for Wal, obviously, and his family. Terrible situation. You know, my condolences to Wal Harris and his family for the unfortunate passing of his daughter, Anita Blanchard. I really hope justice is brought to these scumbags who did this to her. They obviously have the people in custody, so you know, I think we all hope the absolute worst of these guys that did this to his daughter. Only 19 years old, so she had a long life ahead of her, and she will no longer be with us. So really sad stuff. But yes, I encourage you to go and check out Walt Harris's eulogy. He hasn't really talked much, and you can't blame him. I'm sure he's just been reeling from the whole situation. So it's good to see him actually go out there and release the statement today. He didn't have to do that, but I think a lot of people wanted to hear what he had to think about the whole situation. So go check out Walt Harris's social media. It's there to read the whole statement. All right, let's get some other fight announcements here. Now, I like this fight a lot. I'm just a little confused by the card placement. Josh Emmett versus Arnold Allen. Great fight. Great featherweight fight. Two of the top 15 guys in the world. But why is it in UFC Raleigh? I think they should have saved it for London. The card's only like 6 weeks later. To me, they should have saved that fight. So good fight. Don't get me wrong. I like the matchup a lot. It makes a lot of sense. Josh Emmett and Arnold Allen, both two really, really good fighters. Josh Emmett here, and pull his record out. He's 34, but he's like a younger 34, I think. He hasn't had too many fights. He only has 17 fights. Been fighting since 2011. Coming off two straight wins over Michael Johnson, Miroslav Bektic. Also had that knockout win over Ricardo Lamas. He did have that devastating knockout loss to Jeremy Stephens, but he's bounced back nicely. The guy's a very dangerous fighter. 6-2 overall in the UFC. He's looked really good. A lot of knockout power, as we know. And Arnold Allen is also an excellent fighter. He's only 25, so super young. 15-1 in his career, including a 6-0 record in UFC. Just beat Gilbert Melendez. It was time for him to fight a ranked opponent. Josh Emmett is the guy. Great fight. Love this matchup. Tough one to call. I like Arnold Allen a lot, but Josh Emmett is a really big step up in competition. So to me, this is a really tough fight. If it was in London, I would definitely have to lean towards Allen, but the fact it's in the States makes me kind of hesitant. So I'm not sure which way I lean, to be honest with you. The fight's in January, obviously, at UFC Raleigh. But great fight nonetheless. And I'm just a little surprised, like I said, it's not in London because the card's only 6 weeks away. So to me, they should have waited for that. A lot of English fans wanted to see that fight in London, but it will not be taking place there. A couple other fights announced for that UFC Auckland card. Jake Matthews will be taking on Emil Mech. So another pretty good fight here in the UFC welterweight division. Jake Matthews, a pretty solid fighter, 25, so still getting better. He's young. He's been in the UFC forever. He's been in the UFC since 2014, so it's been almost 6 years now since he's been in the UFC, and he's got a good record, 8-4 in the octagon, coming off a win over Rostam Akman. He's actually won four of his last five fights, so he's a very dangerous guy. And Emil Mech, 31 years old, 9-4-1 no contest in his career. Not an amazing record, but and his UFC career hasn't gone the way it's planned. I don't think 1-2 beat Jordan Mean in his debut. Then he lost to Kamaru Usman with no shame in that. And then Bartosz Fabinski, who's honestly an underrated fighter, but that's probably a fight he would have wanted to win. We all remember him from that win over Ruslan Paul Harris in Venator FC. He really hasn't lived up to the expectations. This is a tough fight for him. Jake Matthews, a very, very good grappler. Emil Mek can be taken down and controlled. My lean is kind of towards Matthews here, just especially because it's in New Zealand, close to his home in Australia. But an interesting fight because Mek, I think, has a little bit more show than what we've seen from him. Also on that card, we got Ben Sassoli against Marcus Rogério de Lima. Another interesting fight here. Ben Sassoli, he had the one fight with Greg Hardy. It was a no contest. He lost the fight. Then we know what happened with the inhaler. Overall in his career, just 7-2 with two no contests. So a very weird record. He hasn't won a fight in the UFC yet, actually coming off two no contests. So that's a really weird kind of situation he's in. But he gets Marcus Rogério de Lima here, who is a very dangerous guy, as we know. 34 years old, so a little bit older, but super dangerous. UFC record, 5-4. So not a great record. And he is coming off a loss against Stefan Struve in a fight that honestly he should have won. He knocked him down early and then lost. But if you look at his career, most of his losses are to pretty good fighters. Struve, OSP, Antiguo's not great, but he's okay. And then Krylov. So he hasn't lost to bad guys. But at the same time, he hasn't been super consistent. He's win, loss, win, loss, win, loss. This one's another close fight, I think. Obviously, Soli is fighting close to home. But De Lima, I think, is the more dangerous guy, quite frankly. So I guess I lean towards De Lima a little bit at this point, but I got to think about this one a little bit more. And again, we have till February for this card. And the last fight on this card that's been announced is, to me, a mismatch between Tyson Pedro and Vinicius Moreira. I think we can all see what the UFC is trying to do with this one, guys. Tyson Pedro, he is coming off that devastating knockout loss to Shogun Hua. Looked really bad in that fight. Before that, lost to OSP. Overall in the UFC, just 3-3. Struggled a bit, but he has some decent wins. Khalil Roundtree, Paul Craig, these are okay wins. For sure. And then Vinicius Moreira, this is a guy that I'm shocked is still in the UFC, but clearly they are just using him as a way to build up other fighters. 9-4 record, but 0-3 in the UFC with three stoppage losses. Paul Craig, Eric Anders, Alonzo Menifield. This guy is just not a UFC caliber fighter at all. Again, this is probably going to be his last fight in the UFC, in my opinion. Tyson Pedro should win this fight by knockout. He should be a massive favorite. I expect him that he absolutely will be a huge favorite on this card. Just going to see if I've missed anything else that I wanted to talk about. Obviously, no UFC this weekend again, but we'll be back next weekend for the UFC Washington, D.C. card. All the odds are actually up for that card. There's all the odds up for UFC 245, and the full odds are actually up for the UFC Korean Zombie versus Brian Ortega card. Those odds are up as well, so we have lots of odds to look at for the next coming month or so before the end of the year. Obviously, it's almost December, which is crazy. This year has gone by really fast. I'm sure you guys feel the same way. It's crazy, right? So we're almost done November now. Just going to see if I missed anything else. Not too much. You know, I think that's all I got. There's some boxing news, obviously. Wilder and Fury's been announced, the second fight, February 22nd. So that's a great fight. Actually, that is the same day as, I just realized, that's the same day as the Hooker-Felder card. But I'm expecting that card to take place in the morning, so MMA fans will be able to watch both fights. Either way, that's a great fight, and that's a big one. All right, guys, that's it for today's show. I appreciate you tuning in. As always, check me out on Twitter at MMAttermartin, podcast, MMAoddsmaker.com, YouTube, SoundCloud, Spotify, Anchor, iTunes, Google Podcasts. MMAoddsmaker.com was actually down yesterday, but it's back up now, so we're all good to go there. So definitely check the website out. I'll be back tomorrow for the Friday edition of the show, and then next week we get back to normal with the UFC card to preview and the UFC Washington, D.C. card taking place next Saturday. Guys, have a great day. I'll see you tomorrow for the Thursday edition of the podcast, or Friday edition, I should say. Have a good one, guys. Bye.